Yesterday I mentioned at the beginning of Shia that we had a twofold agenda, and one dimension we began yesterday, we didn't complete it, we'll complete it today, but the other dimension of what I had in mind for the agenda yesterday we didn't even get to, and that's the Shakel Vitaria here on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis. So let's make a decision that we'll try to finish what we started yesterday. And that's the Rashba in the Sechta Baba Kama. And then, Mirz Hashem, will have enough time to go through the Shakla Vitaria here on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis. Now, Jeff, you weren't here yesterday. So I would like to try to summarize the approaches to the Rashba. There were two approaches to the Rashba that we studied yesterday. It's a tall order for me because it was an hour shiur, and I'm going to try to squeeze it into a short amount of time, but hopefully you'll get the gist of it. The Rashba had a hava mina that since he destroys the Eved before he destroys the Gadish, there's no Be'idna, there's no way that we can apply Kimle B'derab mina. Meaning, even if I assume that when he lights up the Gadish and the Eved dies as a result, he's chayv midin rotzeach, but nevertheless, there should not be kimlev the rabbi. The Gemara thinks that the reason why he's potter for the Gadish is because of kimlev the rabbi. That's the Mishnah in Bava Kama. That's the way the Gemara understood it. So the Rashba is bothered. Okay, you want to say he's chayv misa for killing the Eved, but nevertheless, the killing of the Eved was not simultaneous with the Gadish. Now, we had various possibilities, or let's say permutations or scenarios. We don't know whether we're talking about a Gadish that was destroyed before he killed the Eved, or about the Gadish that was destroyed after he killed the Eved. But either way, let's take the case where he destroys the Gadish before the fire spreads and kills the Eved. The Rashba says that that should be similar to the case of Gonev Kis, and then he's chayav from Melech HaShabbos when he pulls the Kis out into Rosh HaRabim. And the Gemara says in such a case we do not apply the principle of Kimlev D'Rav Mineh, because he was already chayav Mamon at the time that he stole the kiss. Here also, he was chayv to pay for the Gadish the very moment that he lit up the Gadish. Even though later on he kills the Eved, but that shouldn't in any way patter him up from the payment for the Gadish, because that payment, that chiyuv of Mazik, was already set and complete even before he killed the Eved. So the first approach that we had yesterday was that the Rashba was initially understood that the Kimle B'derabi Mineh to exempt him from paying for the Gadish is based on the Avera Vritzicha, meaning he's Chayav Misa for Vritzicha, and that's why he doesn't pay for the Gadish. And the Rashba understood that the Chayav Misa for killing the Eved is Chal at the moment that he kills the Eved. The Misa that he does to set the fire, to light the fire, which according to Rabbi Yochanan is Isha Mishum Chitzav, that's only the Gorem, that's the Maisa Gorem es Achiyuv. But the Chiyuv itself is for the death of the Eved. Therefore, at the moment that he lights up the Gadish, there's no Chiyuv of Ritzicha. and all you have is the Maisa Gorim Eser Tzicha. The Rashba understood that the Maisa Gorim is not enough to generate Kimle B'Dram Mine. What was the Rashba's answer? Who remembers yesterday what concept did the Rashba introduce?
Rodev.
Okay, thanks. Just want to make sure we're on the same page. What was the Chiddush of Rodev? That the lighting of the Gadish is not just a Maisa that sets up Ritzicha, but rather it's a Maisa for which he's Chayav Misa. He's Chayav Misa for the very lighting of the Gadish. That's the Chiddush of the Rashba in his Maskana. And just like the Mishnah says in Sanhedrin that if a Rodef destroys Kalim while he's in the act of Redifa, he doesn't pay for those Kalim, so too if a person becomes a Rodef by lighting a fire, and in this case he lights the Gadish is going to kill the Eved is Kofus, and the Chiyuv Mamon is Chalf at that same moment that he became a Rodef, why is he a Rodef? Because the fire that he lit is going to ultimately kill the Eved. So lighting that fire is a Maisa that generates a Chiyuv Misa B'Toras Rodef, not B'Toras Rotzeach, but as a Rodef, because the fire is going to kill the Eved, and at that same moment he's Chayv damages for the destruction of the Gadish. In that case we apply the principle of Kimle B'Dram. So that was approach number one.
Why didn't they ever bring that up of the union of Rodef when they first discussed the union of Chase, when he shot an arrow and it tore.
So that's what I pointed out to Yechiel yesterday, that the Gemara does have such a Hamavin in Sanhedrin that a person who's about to be Mechal Shabbos is considered a Rodef, but the Gemara rejects that. And Lamaskana, there's no din of Rodef. If a person is about to be Mechal Shabbos, you do whatever you can to stop him, but you don't kill him.
Sure, of course.
Right, so there's no Chiyuv Misa. We're talking now about Kimle B'Dramine, which is a Chiyuv Misa. So in the case of Zorei Chetz, there's no way that we can activate the principle of Rodev in order to patter him up from the Shirayim, because he's not a Rodev. Here, on the other hand, when he lights the fire of the Gadish and the Eved is Kofeslo, he is a Rodev. But let's move on to the second. I'm chazering a little bit yesterday's shiur for Jeff. Let's go on to the second approach in explaining the Rashba. And this approach, which you'll see here in Simon, or Os, if you want to call it, Reish Mem Beis on page Reish, this is a way of saying that you can be chayav according to the Rashba for lighting the Gadish. Just one second. The Ofen Sheshnei Chiyuvim Boim Al Maisa Echad is Be'inin Shekvar Yochel Chiyuv Misa B'Shas Asiyas HaMaisa. So now the Rashba understands, and we discussed this Rashba great length in the past, that the concept of Akira L'Tzorech Hanocha is based on the fact that the Akira is part of the Maisa Mechayev. Because the Maisa Mechayev Hotzah is made up of two specific actions. One is Akira and the other is Hanocha. So at the moment that he does the Akira, which is the Zrikas HaChetz, that's considered the Tchilas Chiyuv Misa. Because he's going to be Chayev Misa because of the Akira Sachetz. The Rashba's problem was that if Akira L'Tzorech Hanocha only operates when there was a Chiv Misa at the moment of Asiyas HaMaisa, then in the case of Madlikas HaGadish, that's not considered part of the Maisa Machayev. Let's read it inside. He says the following. He says, in order to apply the principle of Akira Tzorech HaNocha, we need that already at the time of Akira, there's a Chiv Misa. In other words, the Akira itself is the Tchilas Chiv Misa. It's part of a process. So the Rashba asks, if that be the case, then that Misa is part of the Chiv Misa, and that Misa is going to lead to a Chiv Mama. Aval Imla Adayin Lo Nischayev Misa, if he's not Chayev Misa for that Misa, then it's not considered Akira Tzorech Hanocha. So in the case of Zrika, we're going to say that already Vishas Akira, he's already begun a process of a Chiv Misa. That's called Ika Tchilas Chiv Misa. That's why he's potter on the Kriya Sashirayim. However, in the case of Sreifa Sa'eved, according to Rabbi Yochanan, the Gemara says he lit the Gaddish. He didn't do an action directly onto the Eved. So we're not going to assume that the Hadlokas HaGaddish is the Tchilas Chiv Misa. It's not the beginning of the Aver of Ritzicha. The Aver of the Ritzicha is Chal at the moment that the Eved is, I don't know what word to use, is a lit. A-L-I-T. Is that okay, that word? So if you take a look at the paragraph Dibra Maskel V'Ulam, he says the following, B'Sreifas Ha'Eved Hecha Shehitzitz Es HaGadish, because the Gemara now is not ready for the second interpretation, that was Hitzitz Es HaEved. We're now working with Hitzitz Es HaGadish. So there was never a Maisa Sreifa on the Eved. Therefore, in the Rashba's understanding, Efsha Lomar Shekvar Madlokas HaGadish Mascheles HaAvera Deritzicha. We've already got the beginning of the Avera for Tzicha.
You don't.
That's the Rashba sheet. Again, you and I might disagree. You and I might disagree, but I'm just presenting the Rashba sheet. The Rashba sheet is that the Adlokas HaGadish, Atzotzos HaGadish, is not considered what? Chilas Averas HaRitzicha. Why? Wait, just give me a minute. The Avera he Harigas HaEved. Now, Harigas HaEved requires that there be a Maisa that's done on the Eved. Now it's true that we're going according to Rabbi Yochanan and Isha Mishum Chitza. So eventually he is doing a Maisa on the Eved. But the Maisa on the Eved is only when the Eish reaches the Eved. Kolzman shlo nase Maisa ba'Eved leka tchilas chiv Misa. Lekach shapir hiksha rajba mai potal agadish. After Rabbi Yochanan, who holds Isha Mishum Chitza, and he's going to be Chayv Misa for the killing of the Eved. But you cannot say that lighting the Gaddish is the Tchilas Chiv Misa, the Tchilas Avera of Ritzicha. Why? Because the Rashba understands, and again, you and I could argue with the Rashba, but the Rashba understands that the Chiv Misa for the Avera of Ritzicha is the very moment that the weapon with which, you know, through which the victim is going to die is in contact with the victim itself, the body of the victim, so to speak, has now been bludgeoned by the object. You know, if, let's say you hit the guy with the club, so from the very moment you the club hits the person and kills him, that's called the Tchilas Avera. If on the other hand you throw the club from a distance, so that's not called Tchilas Avera. The only reason Akira in the case of Chetz is called Tchilas Avera is because Akira is part of the Melacha of Hotzah. But otherwise, if you set into motion a process that begins with Pu'ula A and ends up with Ritzicha, the Ritzicha, the Maisa Ritzicha, can only be Chal at the moment of contact between the murder weapon and the victim. And therefore, in the case of Hatzotzas HaGadish, until the Eish actually reaches the body of the Eved, so it's only like throwing chitzim. So throwing chitzim could be an Akira Litzorch Hanoch in the case of Melech HaShabbos, but it's not considered a Maisa Ritzicha in the case of the Chiv Misa for Ritzicha, because the Chiv Misa Ritzicha is only, as we said before, the moment that the weapon strikes the body of the victim. It may take a few seconds until the victim dies, but the Tchilas Chiv Misa is what kicks off, what begins, the clock begins to tick on the Chiv Misa of Feretzich is only from the moment that the murder weapon hits the Eved. In this case, the Eish makes contact with the Eved. So the Rashba has a problem now, because he's going to be chayav for the Gadish B'dini Mominos, the moment that he lights up the Gadish. But as far as the Chiyuv Misa is concerned, to apply the principle of Akir Tzor Chanoch, we need the Tchilas Chiyuv Misa. That means the Yaver has already begun, but the Yaver is not going to begin until when? Until the Eish reaches the body of the Eved.
Right.
And you can only say about the lighting of the Gadish, as far as the Eved is concerned, that that's already a Gorim. You know, he'll certainly be Chayv because he set that process into motion, but the actual Avera takes place later on when the fire hits the body of the Eved. I'm beginning to think that we didn't do this yesterday.
No.
Did we?
No.
No.
We didn't say that.
So Jeff, I thought I was giving you a review of yesterday's shiur. Half of what I said is a review of yesterday's shiur, because that was the first approach, the Imre Moshe's approach. The second approach, you'll see in number Yud, is Reb Shimon Shkop. Reb Shimon Shkop is assuming that the Rashba's problem is because the Rashba understood that Hatzotas HaGadish, although it sets into motion a process of Ritzicha, is not part of the Maisa Machayev. In other words, it's the Chiv Misa. It's not like Akir Tzor Chanocha is Chal, not at the moment of Hatzotzas HaEish. Hatzotzas HaEish is not called Ritzicha. You know, he lit a Gadish. That's not called Ritzicha. Again, you and I would have said that's Ritzicha. Why? Because the Eved is Kafus. But he's saying no. That's not called Ritzicha until the fire finally hits the Eved. Again, how many seconds that'll take, I don't know. Probably not a long talk. So what was the Rashba's answer? So the Rashba in his answer introduces the concept of Rodev. The Bishas HaTzotza Havile Rodev in Ischai of Misa. Again, not Betoras Lo Sirtzach, because that Aver will only begin, as we said according to the Rashba, when the Eish makes contact with the body of the Eved. But from the moment that he lights the Gadish, he's already considered a Rodev. And a Rodev is Chayiv Misa. We put him to death. So afal pisha poka hachiyuv liachrad loka. So now we have the following issue, which, if you remember, we mentioned yesterday. Okay, so Jeff, we mentioned the name of the Birkas Shmuel. That, very good, he's a Rodev, but he's only a Rodev at the minute, at the moment of lighting the fire. And after he lit the fire, it's already inevitable that the Eved is going to die. There's no din of Rodef anymore. So, for example, if a Rodef shot an arrow, and it's going to take a few seconds till the arrow hits its target and kills someone, we don't kill the Rodef. In that case, as you said, Yosef, we have to bring him to the courtroom. So he says the following, Afal pisha poka chiv liachar ad loka, and the chiv mamon is only going to be chal after the Gadish goes up in fire. So it means like this. The very second that he takes the torch and he applies it to the Gadish, at that second he becomes a Rodev.
How does that happen?
He takes a torch and he touches the Gadish. At that second he's a Rodev. Why? Because the Eved is kofus lo. He's not going to be chayav for mamon until after this adlaka. Now, once there's already adlaka, you know, it's a second after he takes the torch and attaches it to the Gadish, at that second he's no longer a Rodev. So, again, are you following the logic? We're still not 100%. You know, on the one hand, we've solved one problem, but we haven't completely solved all the problems yet. That's what this paragraph in Tirutz HaRashba is about. So if you'll hold your horses, we'll get to the end of this paragraph, we'll see how he solves this problem. But let's just appreciate the problem. If we assume that he's a Rodef, and that gets the Chiv, that brings the Chiv Misa all the way back to the moment of Hatzotzas HaGadish to solve the Rashba's previous problem, so that's good news, because he's a Rodef and he's Chiv Misa at the moment of Hatzotzas HaGadish. But on the other hand, it's going to take a few seconds until the Gadish goes up in smoke. So he's only chayav to pay for the Gadish a few seconds after the Hatzotza. Well, at the moment of the Hatzotza, he's a Rodev. He ceases to be a Rodev immediately after the Hatzotza. So we have like T1, T2, and T3. T1 is the moment of that split second of Hatzotzas HaGodish. At that moment, he becomes a Rodev. Then we have moment T2 is when the Godish goes up in smoke. And then we have T3 when the Eved gets killed. So the very moment of T1, as soon as he lights up the Godish, that's called Hatzotza, on the one hand, at that second, he's a Rodev, but a second later, he's no longer a Rodev. So sometime between T1 and T2, T2 is the moment when the Godish goes up in fire and he's Chayev Mamon, he's already Ois Rodef. He's no longer Rodef and he's not Chayev Mis anymore. So how then are we going to apply the principle of Kim Lev D'Rabmine? He says the following, Afal Bisha Poka Chiv Liachad Loka V'Chiv Mamon Chal B'Fo'al. I'm going to add a few words here. Achar Kach B'Shas Sreifas HaGodish Shalom B'Shas Chiv Misa. It's not, he's no longer Chayev Misa. Yeah. If I ever wake you up in the middle of the night with a quiz question, how could a person be Chayev Misa and then a second lady is not Chayev Misa? What's the answer? Rodef. Only in Rodef you could have such a strange thing where a person was Chayev Misa and then he became Ois Chayev Misa. You know, once a person is Chayev Misa, you can't reverse that situation. But the exception to that rule is Rodef. Why? Because a Rodef was Chayev Misa at the moment he was a Rodef, but a second lady is no longer a Rodef.
Why not?
Because we can't save the Nirdaf. Again, we're going with the approach that the only time a person has the status of a Rodef is when you could possibly save the Nirdaf by killing the Rodef. But if the Nirdaf is destined to die, whether you kill the Rodef or not, then we have to take the Rodef and bring him to court and give him a case. So again, the premise here is that he's no longer a Rodef at the moment of the Chalos Chiv Mamon. Because the moment of Chalos Chiv Mamon is a second later after the Gadish goes up in smoke. Mikol makom, here the Rashi is mechadish. He's part to be din kibbleh the rabbinah. Why? Where's the kibbleh the rabbinah here? Mimanafshav. If you're going to say about the chiyuv ritzicha, well, the chiyuv ritzicha and the ma'isa machayev, which is like akir tzotnot, that's only later when the eish hits the eved. So that's already premature to apply kibbleh the rabbinah. If on the other hand you're going to say, well, I'm going to apply Kimli Rami Mi Din Rodev, it's too late, because the moment of Sreifas HaGodish is after Poka Shem Rodev. So what's the Rashba's solution to this? Again, this is all Rav Shimon Shkop. He says the following: the Kema the Chiyuv Mamon Ba Al Yedei Tchilas Maisad Loka. The ein maisa achar kach hamachayev hamamon da ein osa klum is b'shas hadloka nischayev misa, and therefore that's poel achiv misa shlo ischayev li olam mamon al maisa shasa b'shas achiv misa. In other words, here the Rav Shimon Shkop is introducing the logic of Tosis that we discussed yesterday. So he's saying the following: as far as Hilchus Maisim is concerned, so the Chiyuv Mamon is a result of that Tchilas HaMaisim, meaning that Hatzotzas HaEish is the Tchilas HaMaisim. That Hatzotzas HaEish was done at the moment of his status as a Rodef, when he was Chayev Misa. So that Hatzotzas HaEish could never generate a Chiyuv Mamon. Why? Because the Chiyuv Mamon does not require another action on the part of the Mazik. He destroys the Godish as a result of that original Atzotza. Again, he's not Chayev Befal until the Godish goes up in smoke. But if you ask me what he's Chayev for, after the Godish goes up in smoke, every case of Mazik requires a Maisa Mazik. And he's not Chayev without a Maisa Hezek. So what's a Maisa Hezek for which he's Chayev on the Godish? It's that Atzotzas HaGodish. Well, you can't be mechayev him as a result of that Atzotzas HaGodish, because that Atzotzas HaGodish comes on the Kimlei Miramine. Why does it come on the Kimlei Miramine? Because at the moment of that Atzotzas HaGodish, he was a Rodev. So even though he ceases to be a Rodev a second later, but since there's an absolute sink, if I could use that word, between both the Chiyuv Misa B'Toris Rodev and the Maisa Mechayev B'Toris Mazik, and those two were in perfect sync, because at the moment of Hatzotzas HaGodish, he was both a Rodef as Chayv Misa, and he set into motion a process of a Maisa Machayev in Hilchus Nezikin. He can never be chayav for that maisa of Hilchus Nezika, because at the moment of that maisa he was already chayav misa. Me din rodev.
I'm sorry, why did he lose the status of rodev?
That's where I'm
again, he loses the status of rodev because once it's inevitable that the person's going to die and killing the rodev is meaningless, it's futile, because the machayev of rodev is because of the Hatzol Sanirda.
You can't save him.
Right, that was the premise of Rebarth Bear. Again, you know, for this we'd have to learn the also your rodev, but let's assume that there's no such thing as a chiv mis on the rodev without Hatzol Sanirda. And the reason for that is because we don't kill a person just simply because he's guilty of a crime. We kill a person because he was judged, and there's a whole process, and we need Eidim, and we need Asra, and a million other things. That's not the case of Rodev. Why is Rodev such an exception that the Torah allows you and even obligates you to kill a person? The answer is because of Atzol Sanirdov. So his status as a Rodev is mitle tolui. It's totally dependent upon Atzol Sanirdov.
So when what was the point in time when he became a Rodev?
When he lights the fire. When
it's already too late then, maybe a second before he lights
the fire. You mean the second before that? When he gets his equipment ready together. He's running with the knife.
He's no chiyuv mamon yet. There's no chiyuv mamon.
Why do you say it's the moment he gets himself his equipment? No, we have to see that he's a rodev before. You know, a man can contemplate and
yeah, but when he gets the torch ready.
Right, and he lights the torch.
If, yeah, that's he not has a rodev. Light the torch first, and then put it into the garish.
At the moment there's contact between the torch and the garish, she's a rodev.
Why is it too late?
Then it's too late already.
You're saying
correct. We'll call it Gito V'yodim Bon Kachas. At that second, he's a rodev, and he's also. And he's also ceases to be a rodev.
If
you're saying that the burning gaddish
just one second now, I can't hear two people at the same time.
I have a problem with saying that a rodev is has a chiyuv misa on him. We have an obligation to stop him.
Okay.
We have an obligation to stop him. Nitan lahatziot b'echad me'evarav is also good. Whereas when someone has a chiyuv misa, you can't say, "Oh, I'm just going to cut his leg off." You have to kill him according to the chiyuv misa that he has.
Right.
But this guy doesn't have a chiyuv misa. He just we have a chiyuv to stop him,
right,
up until the point of actually killing him, if that's what it takes.
Right.
So it's not a formal chiyuv misa.
I'm not sure I understand what you're saying. The Mishnah says in Masechta Sanhedrin that if a rodef achaver she shiber kelim is potter mishum shem hischayev benafsho. That's the lashon of the Mishnah. That's not Reb Shimon Shkar. This is like, you know, 15 centuries before Reb Shimon Shkar.
Mishum to mish.
More than that. Right? That the Gemara is 15 centuries. The Mishnah is
because he could possibly be killed because of this. But to say that there's a formal chiyuv misa on this person.
Again, it's a different type of a chiyuv misa. It's a chiyuv misa that doesn't require hasra, it doesn't require bezdin, but nevertheless, it's a chiyuv misa. That's the lashon of Mishnah. Shari mischayev benafsho. The Mishnah says that he's potter for kelim because of his mischayev benafsho.
Could be
up until
that he's mischayev benafsho at that moment that he incurs a chiyuv mamon for destroying someone's kelim. He's mischayev benafsho. Hence, we apply the principle of kimlei d'rabbeinu. The only problem the Rashba has here is that in the Hamamim, he didn't understand that we were operating midin rodev. He thought we were operating midin rotzeach. And at what moment can we apply the yardstick of akir tzorcha nocha? Only when it's a tchilas achiyuv. And the tchilas achiyuv is only at the moment that there's contact between the esh and the evesh. Evan. It's the gufo shel evan. Right, so you have the gufo shel evan. At that moment, he's chayav ritzicha. We're not going to expand the definition of maisa ritzicha and the chayav rotzeach to include all those actions that took place before there was a contact between the murder weapon, in this case the eish, and the body of the evan. That's premise number one. So that led the Rashba to introduce rodev here, because otherwise you can't say that he's potter for the godish because of a tchilas chiyuv misa when there's no tchilas misa vakira. I use that term conceptually until the fire has contact with the body. But if you can introduce rodev, then at the moment of hatzotzas ha'esh, hatzotzas ha'godish, he becomes chayav misa, not chayav misa v'toras rotzeah, but chayav misa v'toras
rodev.
But now the Rashba has another problem, because once he's made it, he loses his status as a rodev. No, if he loses his status as a rodev, so that when he's chayiv mamon for destroying the goddish, he's no longer rodev. So you don't have the sink between the chayiv bisa and the chayiv mamon. Comes along with Shimon Shkop and he says, what does the Rashba mean to say over here? He means to say that at the moment of Adlokas HaGadish, he has already implemented the Maisa Mazik. Why? Because he's going to destroy the Gadish as a result of that Tzotzos HaEish. Well, he's going to be Chayev because of that Tzotzos HaEish. Every case of a Maisa Mazik, you're Chayev because of the Maisa Mazik. Well, if the Maisa Mazik is that Tzotzos HaEish, I got news for you. At that very moment, he was Chayev Nisa B'Toras Rodev. So we have an absolute sync between the moment that he's chayav v'tzicha, I'm sorry, he's chayav misa, b'toras what? B'toras rodev, and the moment that he's chayav for implementing a maisa hezek. The only exception to the rule would be if you needed two maisa. That's what Reb Shimon Shkop says. Let's say, for example, in addition to atzotzas ha'esh, to destroy the goddess, he would need another maisa. That's all another story, because then there's no Kimlev of the Rabbi on that second Maisa. But if there's no need for any other Maisa, right, he's going to be Shevi Altaser, then in such a case, the entire Machayav here of the Maisa Mazik is the Hatzotz Ha'esh. And that Hatzotz Ha'esh is Mufka from any Chiyuv Mamon. It's completely neutralized from a Chiyuv Mamon. Why? Because he's Chayav Misa for that Hatzotz Ha'esh. And that's the Din of Rodi. That's what Shimon Shkop according to Berzon. Now again, yeah, I'm sure if Shimon Shkop was here in the room, you know, my father told me he was very charismatic. My father missed him by 1 year because he was too young for Shimon Shkop Shia. So my father's older friend, his name was Rabbi Silver, he later became a Rav in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. His father was Rav Blazer Silver. I forgot his first name. I think it was Yehuda. I'm not sure. But anyway, Rabbi Silver, his son is a good buddy of mine, Aaron Silver. Do you know Aaron Silver? He's a Rebbe in Kerem Biavne. So anyway, this is Aaron Silver's father. So Aaron Silver's father was 1 year older than my father. So he got to hear Reb Shimon Shkop for 8 months. Do you know why Reb Shimon Shkop left after 8 months? Because the Gedolei Yisrael in Europe pressured him to come back to Europe because they didn't want him to be a Rosh Yeshiva in that yeshiva. The Trefi Yeshiva.
Why you?
For 8 months. My father would have been in the shir, except he was 1 year too young, so they didn't want to put him into the shir. And I'll tell you another thing about Reb Shimon Shkop. He was such an educator, he was so charismatic, that when he left, and then Dr. Revel brought in Reb Moshe Soloveitchik to replace him, the guys couldn't make, they just couldn't get used to Reb Moshe Soloveitchik. They were so used to Reb Shimon Shkop. See, Reb Moshe was a different personality. It was like cut and dry. You know, you came in, he asked the kasha, it took him 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 35 minutes was the longest shiur. My father heard Reb Moshe for 5 years. The longest shiur he remembers was 40 minutes, but that was an exception to the rule. It was usually a half hour to 35 minutes, and that was it. And he packed out. And the greatest genius in the Shia was Zimmerman, Chaim Zimmerman. You heard the name?
Yeah.
Oh, he was a genius of geniuses. And my father says in the 5 years that he was in Rav Moshe's Shia, he remembers on two occasions Rav Chaim Zimmerman got up after Rav Moshe presented his kasha. The whole Shia was built on the first kasha. And he yelled out something. And Rav Moshe said it was gerecht, he's correct. And he closed the Gemara and he left the Shia. Anyway, so Rav Shimon Shkop, if he was here, I'm sure he would do a better job. Not only that, I don't even have Reb Shimon in front of me. All I have is the, what's it called? The Mishkanos HaRoim. So if you want to print out Reb Shimon Shkop, maybe we'll be in better shape. Could be. It's possible. Which I have somewhere here.
We'll go back to this Rode for 1 second. I just want to tell you.
Yeah, it's only 1 second. Okay. I agree with that.
The Maisa is like this. You're saying that the moment that a person becomes a threat to killing somebody, he becomes a rodef. He becomes a rodef. And the second.
But yeah, not a threat in the sense that, you know, we did some Sherlock Holmes research and we figured that this guy is out to kill somebody. He's got to start the redifa. Right. You know, we have to...
Right, but well, why do you stop being a rodev? There, to me, it seems clear that the whole concept rodev only lasts as long as there is a person that is good and that is going to kill somebody. If there's no threat of death, there's no rodev. Okay, so if he picks up a knife to kill somebody, from the moment that he picks up the knife until he plunges the knife into the person, he's a rodeo.
Right.
Okay?
But once it's in his heart...
Once it's in his heart, he's no longer a rodeo. Right. Now he's a rodeo, okay?
Right.
But the fact is, whether that lasts...
Jeff, I just want to add, even before he punches him, if he would, let's say, throw the knife... And there's no way of retracting the right, of calling it back, and therefore killing the rodent would not be
accomplishing
exactly. So then he's not a rodent. So again, there are so many different limitations to the halacha of rodent. For example, once the guy is dead already, obviously you can't save him, so there's no din of rodent. Not only that, once the process in motion is irreversible, there's no possibility of saving the nirdov. There's no killing of the rodent.
Right, exactly. So the point is exactly that. So now when he lights the gadish, you're saying the moment he lit the gadish, he is a rodent.
Right.
The moment after that, he's no longer a rodent.
Right, because then it's too late.
But even at the moment when he lit the gadish, he didn't kill him though at that moment, did he?
Well, no. A rodef is not chayv for the moment that he kills him. He's chayv moment that he's rodef, and when he's involved in lighting the gadish again, I don't know how many seconds that is. Maybe it's a fraction of a second. At that moment, he's a rodef. Why? Because the fire is going to inevitably kill the eved.
Well, for me, use another example. So maybe the fellow, but maybe I'm on the animal's trail. If I take an analogy of someone who's holding a gun,
right?
I'm pointing at someone, I'm pretty sure I'm a rodent.
Yeah.
Once I hit the trigger, I'm not a rodent anymore.
Right.
I'm already a rodent.
So you're saying
once I have the fire at the gun, just but I haven't lit it, that's the guy holding the gun.
Right.
I'm a rodent then, but once I lit it, it's too late. So
that's why I say
you're not even a rodent then. You're not a rodent when you point the gun at him. And not even when you pull the trigger, it's when the bullet leaves the gun.
Wow, then you can't at some point the killing the
rodent. That's what I'm saying. It doesn't make any sense.
Then you're questioning the whole pasha of rodent.
That's right, exactly. So, that was my question.
Second, you light the gadish, you must put your foot on it and just put it out.
But anyway, that's getting back to rodent.
Right, that's another question about Baruch Pe. Maybe we could still extinguish the fire. That's another possibility, because then it becomes Yochel Atzil Bechle Beivorov. You remember this question from yesterday. Okay, Rabosei, so we have two approaches to the Rajba, and both of them are problematic. Why are both of them problematic? So again, I'm hoping that you have Reish Aleph here. You don't have Reish Aleph. Can you take a picture here of Reish Aleph?
Send it to
the... And once you're doing that, I'll ask you to maybe take a picture of Reish Beis, although I don't think we'll get to Reish Beis today.
Right.
You have a hookup to that printer?
Yeah.
Oh, very nice.
I'm going to talk while you're photographing. Is that a word, photographing? No,
it's
probably...
Sure it is,
yeah?
It's okay. Very old words. You don't do the things.
What's the substitute today? While you're picturing?
Capturing.
Race base will be for tomorrow. Okay, good. So he asks the following kasha, and he says this kasha is both according to the Imre Moshe and according to Rav Shimon Shkab. The Rashba says that the Gemara could have said ulitamech, and it means the following: that even according to the Rashba's presentation, even Rav Yochanan will have to assume the Ukimta, right, the reinterpretation of the Mishnah there, that's called Hitzitz Begufo Shel Eved. And the assumption is that if, you know, here's where everything settles, you know, here's where the dust settles. And that is, if the Mishnah is talking about Hitzitz Begufo Shel Eved, then we do understand why he's potter for the Gadish. That doesn't make any sense. Am I potter al Gadish? He was chayav misa at the moment that he was hitzitz begufo shel eved. He's not chayav momen until the fire spreads to the gadish.
But if he was mechuber to the gadish, then by lighting the gadish, it's like hitzitz begufo shel eved.
Okay, let's go on. If you don't mind, I'd like to finish the thought process before I interrupt, because otherwise I get a little bit confused. He says the following: Akati kasha, amai potel al gadish. Atu mishun is chayiv ben nafsho. V'yachak korah shirayim. Are you going to tell me that if a person became chayiv for whatever he's chayiv for, and then afterwards he would rip someone's shirayim, is milo lo mischayev? Would he not have to pay for the shirayim? So he's already chayev misa the very split second that he kills the eved, and he was hitzis begufa shel eved. He's not going to be chayev misa until he destroys the what? He destroys the gadish, which is subsequent. And that's the Rashba's kasha. The Rashba's kasha is that even if I interpret the Mishnah as referring to hitzis begufa shel eved, we still have a problem. We don't know why he's potter for the Kriya Shirayim. That doesn't make any sense. Let's go according. I'm going to start with Rav Shimon's Kopp because that's fresh in our mind. Then we'll go back to the Imri Moshe. Lefishan Mashin is Bayer. My Kusha, what's the Rashba asking? Hokisha Hitz is Begufo Shal Eved. Kvar his Chayev Betchilas Averas Haritzicha. Uf Shapir Potter Al Godish. Afal gav the nisraf hagodesh liachar misas eved, the anochas hagacheles, when he applies the torch to the eved, that's the maisas the mechayev moment. He doesn't have to do any other maisas subsequently in order to be chayev as a mazik. So he's chayev mazik for lighting the eved, because lighting the eved since yoldisha mishum chitzov is the same as lighting the gadish. And we don't need any other maisa to intervene here, to wedge in between in order for him to be chayiv mamon. So the chayiv mamon is a result of the maisa mazik. What's the maisa mazik? The hanochas agacheles ala eved. Well, the hanochas agacheles ala eved is already a chayiv misa. Why is the hanochas eved a chayiv misa? Because he's directly killing the eved. So what's the Rashba's question? Or to the Rashba asks, or to Mishin Eschayev Benafsho V'yaka Kor Shirayim Milom Eschayev. That's a different case. For sure he's Chayev on the Kriya Shirayim because he was Chayev Benafsho for something that had nothing to do with the Kriya Shirayim. Let's say, for example, you remember the case of Rav Ashi that we had on Daf Lamed Aleph, that he ate Truma and he ripped Shirayim Shel Chaverim. So of course, if he ate the truma first and then he ripped the shirayim shel chaver second, he's going to be chayav for the kriyas shirayim. And the Rashba says here too, he destroys the eved because hits his begufa shel eved, and then afterwards the fire spreads and burns up the gadish. So the Rashba says b'tviya, how can he be potter from the gadish? And that's why the Rashba comes up with a whole chiddush that the gadish went up in fire before the eved died. Yeah, but we'll leave out the Rashba's teretz. We're focusing now on the Rashba's kasha. The Rashba kasha, he understands his premise is the Rashba is that what, that the gadish goes up in smoke after the eved dies, and he says how, well, so he's meschayev ben asher for killing the eved, and now he should be potter for the subsequent Strafas HaGodish? How could that be? It's like a person finishes his Chiyuv Misa and then he's Korea Shirayim. What, he's going to be potter for the Shirayim? We don't understand this Rashba. Let's go with Rav Shimon Shkop's understanding of the Rashba. There's no Kasha. The Rashba has no Kasha because the Rashba has already established, according to Rav Shimon Shkop's explanation, that he has a Chiyuv Misa the moment that he starts this process. And the Rashba holds that if that process is the Maisa Machayev in Tashlubei Mamon, so since that Maisa was a Maisa that generates a Chiyuv Misa, it cannot at the same time generate a Chiyuv Mamon. So obviously he's going to be potter for the Shirayim, or in this case potter from the Sreifas HaGodesh. Why? Because at the moment of Hitzitz Begufo Shel Eved, at that very moment, he is Chayev Misa. And if he's Chayev Misa at that moment, and that could be true even according to Reish Lakish, because here it's clearly Isha Mishum Chitzav, because he lights the Eved directly. So at that moment he's Chayev Misa, then for sure that he can't be Chayev Mamon for that Maisa, right? But why are you telling me he's Chayev Mamon for the Sreifas HaGodesh? It's because he lit the Eved. And by lighting the Eved, inevitably what's going to happen without any intervention is going to be that the Godish is going to go up in smoke, right? That was the whole premise of Reb Shimon Shkop, that he can't be chai for the Sreifas HaGodish since at the moment that he lit the fire which is going to destroy the Godish, he was chai of Misa. So what's the Rashba asking here? Now let's go back to the Imre Moshe for a second. The Imre Moshe wants to say that if there's one Misa for which he's chai of Misa, and he's chayev mamon, then the Chiv Misa is Mafkia the Chiv Mamon. And according to the Rashba's Teret, says the Imre Moshe, since he's a Rodev, he becomes Chayav Misa not for the killing of the Nirda, but simply for the Maisa Radifa. And that was the whole Kiddush of the Imre Moshe, right? That we don't say that the Maisa of lighting the Gadish is a Gorim, but we say that the Maisa of the lighting the Gadish, according to the Imre Moshe, is itself, in and of itself, generates the Chayav Misa. Why? Because he's a Rodev. Now, if that be the case, if he's a Rodev, then he can't be Chayav for Mammon for the same Maisa which was Mechayav and Misa. Now, if that be the case, the Rashba has no Kasha for the fact that the Gadish goes up in smoke subsequent to the Maisa Ritzicha, because who cares? He was already Chayav for Midin Rodev at the moment that he lit the Eved. So therefore, we have to introduce a whole new approach to the Rashba, and that's going to be Roman numeral number 3.
Unlike Akira and Hanacha, where you can say that the time span between the first act and last act is somewhat definable, here we don't have a definition of how long he remains aerobic. I mean, it's a little bit different to say that subsequent, the Gadish burns up subsequent, is because it was still within the time frame that he was Chayav Mishubrodev, because the Chayav Mishubrodev didn't end yet. But that's not, it doesn't have like a bookend. It doesn't have like the Hanacha, the Maisa that's going to end the this time span.
So Yevshal Tzantzim.
Yes, I mean,
the same moment.
Again, I'm not 100% sure I'm on the same page. Let's go over the assumption, the premise of the Rashba. The premise of the Rashba is that at the moment of Hitzis Begufo Shel Eved, he's Chayav Misa. He's not Chayav Mamon until afterwards when the fire spreads and destroys the Gadish. How could it be that if he has a Chiv Misa already set, already defined and set in stone, that now he's going to be Chayav, now he's going to, we're going to apply Kimle, and he's going to be Potter for a subsequent Chiv moment? That was the Rashba's question. So we're asking, Bain Lefi Hayimei Moshe, Bain Lefi Reb Shimon Shkab, the Rashba's Kasha falls off. Because again, the Chiv moment for Sreifas HaGadish is a result of one action. There's only one action. There's no other action. After this action, he's totally passive. So what was his action? It was Sreifas HaEved, or Hitzis Begufo Shel Eved. At that moment, he has accomplished a Maisa Mazik. In other words, ultimately, whenever it comes down the line, he's Chayav from Zikin because of that Maisa Hezek. Well, that Maisa Hezek could never generate a Chiv Mama. Why? Because that Maisa Hezek is a Maisa that generates a Chiv Misa. And that's true according to all the interpretations that we suggested in the Rashba. And why does that Maisa generate a Chiyuv Misa? Here we don't have to introduce Rodev, because again, the Gemara is now going according to Reish Lakish, and it's Hitzis Begufo Shel Eved. And in that case, he's not setting up a process of Isho Mishum Chitzov, but rather he's Mamish Rotzeach at this point. So he's Chayav Misa for lighting up the Yevet. If he's Chayav Misa at that point, how could he be Mechayev Mamon for that very Maisa? And there is no other Maisa. That's the only Maisa that he does. If that be the case, then Kimli Rabbi should certainly apply in this context. And we don't understand the Rashba's Kash. And that leads us to a third approach, which is the Rosh Yeshiva of Mir, and I'm talking about Mir back in Lithuania, and that's Rabbi Yechezkel Bornstein, the Divrei Yechezkel. So this is here on page Reish Aleph. Were we able to give that out? We have it?
Yeah.
All right, great. So we're looking at Os Reish Mem Gimel. Somebody joined us just recently. Do we need another copy?
I don't have a copy. I can print that one.
Yeah, you want to print that one more copy? So you'll have it. So he says the following. Ain't tzarich lomer sheyesh din mechudash dechiv misa shebshas asiyas ha-maisa shal yodin ischayev momon poel sheshuv lo yischayev liolim momon. So we're going to drop now the premise of both approaches that we suggested in the Rashba, and that premise was that if there's an action which is going to set up the Chiyuv Mamon, and at the moment of that action he was Chayav Misa, so the Chiyuv Misa activates Kimlev L'Ravine on that Maisa. Leave that out. That was the premise that was common to both the approach number one and approach number two. The Rashba holds like the Nebuki Yosef. Let's go through the Nebuki Yosef. The Nebuki Yosef says that he doesn't understand. How could you justify Rabbi Yochanan, Isha Mishum Chitzav, and light Shabbos candles? That's the Ikasha of the Nebuki Yosef. Because if you hold Isha Mishum Chitzav, then he's chayav for the continuous Sreifa. Now, he lights Shabbos candles right before Shabbos. And the candles burn into Shabbos. So every second that the burning continues to going, that's considered his Maisa Ritzicha. I'm sorry, his Maisa Havara. Why? Because Isha Mishum Chitzav. So according to the Muki Yosef, when you send out a Chetz, it may take X number of seconds, or for that matter, X number of hours until the Chetz hits its victim. You're Chayav for the moment that it hits its victim. Why? Because Isha Mishum Chitzav means that Chetz is your action.
If that, it's Kocho.
It's okay, you want to call it Kocho. I'm not sure exactly if it's Kocho, maybe it's Maisa Mamish. For that you have to learn the sugya of Kocho and so on and so on, but it's his Maisa. He's considered the Bala Maisa when the Chetz hits its target, even if it takes an hour until it hits. So therefore, if Isha Mishum Chitzo, when the fire burns, that's continuously his Maisa. How then could we allow Hadlokas Ner Shabbos? So the Rashba answers, Nay. He's not chayav for the burning. He's chayav for the lighting. And since he lit the candle on Erev Shabbos, that's when he sends out the Chetz. He's going to be chayav later on when the Chetz hits its target for the lighting itself. If the lighting itself took place when? On Erev Shabbos, he can't be chayav for violating the Shabbos. If we apply the Nebuki Yosef to this Rashba, again, we're just inventing a premise that the Rashba accepts this Nebuki Yosef. So therefore, b'shosh yotza ha-chetz mitachas yodo, this is Nebuki Yosef, b'osasho nasa ha-kol. In other words, we consider it as if everything happened at the moment that he shoots out the chetz, which is good news in the case of Hadlokas Ner Shabbos. V'lo chashvinen leh kemaisa, I added the word shalo, mikan ulahavo. It's not considered that his action is continuous, so that he be chayav at the moment that it hits the target, or in the case of Eish, the moment that it burns, which is on Shabbos. And the Nebuki Yosef goes on to say the following. This is mind-boggling. Okay, here's the case of the Nebuki Yosef. This is the Nebuki Yosef fears ois the nafkamina after he makes his breakthrough chiddush that from the moment of zrikas hachetz nasako. Here's the case. Pedagogically, what I'd like to do here is present the case to you as if you didn't know the Nebuki Yosef. Just I want to get your like really basic raw intuition. You know, what would you say about this? A man shoots a chetz, and he's about to, the chetz is about to hit Shirayim Shel Chaveru. But Nebuch, he dies before it hits the Shirayim. When I say he dies, I mean Zorik, the Mazik dies. Was he chayav or was he not chayav? If you didn't know the Nebuki Yosef, again, it's too late because you already know the Nebuki Yosef, so I can't play this game with you. But what would you say? I would say he's potter. Why? Without the Nebuki Yosef. Because how can you mechayev him when he's a dead man? You can't be mechayev a dead man in Dini Mamas. There ain't no such thing. Says the Nebuki Yosef, Meis kodem shehispik lahadlik gadish, or, you know, lekroes hashirayim, is govim min chosav. Again, you can't ask him to pay for the damages he's Eretz Shogeg Shtarim, but will collect from his yarshim. Right. In other words, the chiyuv was chal during his lifetime. Mm-hmm. Isn't that mind-boggling when you think about it? The chiyuv is chal when he's alive, and Shirayim or the Godish has not yet been destroyed. Only in the halakhic universe could such a thing exist. This is totally counterintuitive, meaning from if you were in Western culture, I don't think you'd have a shot at convincing anyone that this could be possible. That a man is chayav for a damage that took place after he died. What are you talking about? He's dead already. How can you establish a chiv on a dead man? No, he's chayev. We just have to wait a little bit to see what happens with the chetz or the eish, whether it actually destroys someone's property. But he was already chayev during his lifetime. And therefore, we can collect from the mishubadim for a chiv that was chal during his lifetime. So let's read it again. I don't know. I didn't look it up in Shulchan Aruch. It would be fascinating to open up a Shulchan Aruch in Kol Shem Mishpat and see if we pask it this way, because what the Rashim is going to do here, the Divrei Yecheskel, is he's going to claim that the Rashi accepted hook, line, and sinker this chiddush of the Nebuki Yosef, that Hecha Shemes Kodesh Hispik Lahadlik Hagodish Govin, I'm going to add two words, as Anezek Minachosav. It's considered as if he did the Maisa Hezek in its complete form from the moment that he lit the fire. Ukemandi Adlik Meikara. It's as if at the moment that he was alive, he had already lit up whatever the Gadish that went up in smoke. Because again, the Mukiosis argument is, if you don't accept what I'm telling you, then you're not going to be allowed to light Ner Shabbos. Again, Ner Shabbos is just an example. I mean, I can give you 50 million other examples, right? You know, you put your cholent up on a fire. Okay, it has to be a gar fukata, but that's only midrabbanan. On the Doraisa level, I can put my pot on the fire. It's against Beit Shammai, but we don't pass by Beit Shammai, a minute before Shabbos, and the fire keeps burning on Shabbos, and the food keeps cooking, and that's fine. How can I do such a thing? I'm holding Isha Mishum Chitza. The answer is that he's chayav for the moment that he puts it on the fire. Ad kedei kach, and here I think the Ruki Yosef really, you know, crossed all bounds, that even before the destruction of the Shirayim or the Ganesh, there's already a Shibur on his Nechasim while he's alive. Pretty wild. How does this help us for the Rashi? Lefizeh. Now we can begin to understand the Rashba's answer. And the Rashba introduces the concept of Rode. Dogam al Agodish Nischayev Miyad V'shas Adloka. Here's the Chiddush in this interpretation of the Rashba. You're going to ask me, why is he potter on the Gadish? So until now, based on all the other approaches to the Rashi, we're saying he's potter on the Gadish because he doesn't do any other maisa subsequently, and we can only hold him responsible for the original Hatzotza, when he lights the fire. No! Forget about all that. We don't cut that all out. We're going to cut to the chase, so to speak. What we're going to say is that he's already chayev at the moment that he lights the fire. What do you mean he lights the fire? He hasn't burnt up the Gadish yet. Why is he chayim at that moment? And that moment he's a rodev. Kevon de behi shaita avile rodev is achiyuv mamon umisa boim bevasachas. Mamish bevasachas. Do you see how this is a radical change from everything we've said until now? Until now we never said that it was all bevasachas. We said that this maisa is ultimately going to be the chiyuv, and therefore there was already a chalosh shame, you know, kimle d'rabine on this maisa. Now we don't need that. Cut that all out. We can go back to square one, then we can talk about two things that emerge simultaneously, a chiyuv misa and a chiyuv mamon. Why? Because the chiyuv mamon is clinched through the maisa adlaka, based on the radical chiddush of the Nebuki Yosef. V'afilu lefi ma shekosav achronim di'ein kavonas od. So the achronim, I don't know who this is. Heveinu divrem li'el bi'ol samach beis. Okay, we can take the time and look. You find who's who in the achronim list here. But they hold that you can't take the Nebuki Yosef literally. Ein kavonis anemuki Yosef lechayvo befoal al zrikas hachetz kol zman shlo nase hanezek. You know, that's like really counterintuitive. Although Jeff, I think you must be a gil in the shabbat of Muki Yosef, because you seem to be very comfortable with that. But the achronim are not so comfortable with that. But they say that mikomok machiv chal. Now he uses the word bekach. Yeah, I don't know. I get nervous when I hear Bekot. That's an Aristotelian term. I would say Lamafreya. That's more of a Jewish concept, I think, than Bekot. What it means to say is that he's already going to be chayav later on at the time of the nezek for what he did at the original. A shapir miftar midin kim levi rabbi. That's enough. You know, the fact that I can say that after the nezek takes place, he's chayav for that maisa. That's enough to engender the halacha of kim levi rabbi. So this is all the maskana of the Rashba. Now let's go back to the kasha of the Rashba. Avol b'kushya, so the Rashba is operating not midin rode, but midin what? Rotseach. Leka lishnuye, you can't tell me that he's chayav misa for the zrika sachets, and at that moment he's chayav for the destruction of the shirayim. Why? Because now we're going to go back to our original definition of ritzicha, that ritzicha is only chayav when we get to the point of either the death of the person or the contact between the murder weapon and the person. And now again we're talking about hatzotzas ha-gadish. We haven't yet gotten to the hatzotzas ha-gufo shel eved. It's the gabi misa ein alav toras rotzeach kol zman shlo higia chetz legufo shel eved. Again, you know, he's using kind of vague terminology which can be interpreted two ways because he's not interested in going into those details. They're not relevant to him. His only point is that he's chayav for what happens later on. So here again, this is still the Divrei Yechezkel. Yeah, still the Divrei. Here the Divrei Yechezkel wants to make a fundamental distinction between mazik and rotzeach.
Yeah, he's not applying the Ugi Yosef rotzeach. He's only applying the mazik. Why? Why wouldn't it apply under rotzeach also?
Oh. So I thought about that. Says the following. Because you could have said the following that in Hezek, sky for the destruction. He doesn't give you a clue, does he? Let me just read it again. I don't think he gives you a clue.
Yeah, a very large footnote.
Oh, there is a large footnote?
Well,
which one of them? Nun?
Nun, yeah.
Oh, okay. So I didn't read through Nun. Do you want it?
So long.
Do you want to do Nun? Again, this may take us an hour. So let's give it 5 minutes. And if it goes, it goes. And if it doesn't go, it doesn't go. He says, if I have a beer, Kabiruma, Kodun. Oh, it's okay. That's something else. The Kimberly member wrote, if Eno Kishak, if the Hosamachi, Misa, or Misa, Shemoki, Matsina, Lemay, the Eno Misa. Right? Once he does the vice, it's too late. The ikru mishumat solas had nirdov to prevent the asiyas of vice. So it becomes Uzman echad. Is that, he says Zman echad there or Zman acher? Zman echad. He efshal chayv b'shnechli min poter shnechli b'mozim. I think he's saying that there are two fundamentally distinct and different kinds of chiyuvim. Okay, again, this requires work, but that's not really what we're looking for. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's it. No, this doesn't. So let's just give it a minute or two. I had a little bit of a light at the end of the tunnel. Let me see if I can see in the case of Mazin. Again. Let me just say a few words here. I don't know what's going to come out of my mouth. You know what I mean? I'm thinking as I speak. I have a chavrusa, Alan Dubin. Anybody know Alan? You know Alan, right? Another Alan. So in the Rav Shia, whenever the Rav called on Alan, and I sat next to him, I knew that Alan gave an answer to the Rebbe. He had no clue what was going to come out of his mouth, but he was such a brilliant, and he is such a brilliant thinker, that he was able to think while he was speaking. I don't know if you follow. So what I'm going to blurt out now may or may not make any sense, but let me give it a shot. In the case of Mazik, there are two ways of understanding Mazik. One way of understanding Mazik is that he has created something that will cause damage. And not only did he create something that caused damage, but he failed to protect that object and prevent someone's damage. If that be the case, then there's no difference between Mazik and Rotzeach. But there's another way of understanding Mazik. And that is that a person is held responsible for his action. Again, we have to define it as a Maisa Hezek, and there could be various conditions that have to be met. But once those conditions are met, then it's not that he created a situation which caused someone damage, but that he's chayav for the action itself. Let me give you a nafkamina. Right? We have Momen HaMazik and we have Adam HaMazik. So what's the difference between the two? In the case of Momen HaMazik, he's chayav for Pshia. What I mean by Pshia is that he created or he possesses a dangerous mazik, and he was posheh. He did not fulfill his responsibility to protect others from a damager, if we can call it that. Mm-hmm. Adam HaMazik is different. Adam HaMazik has nothing to do with his having to protect his own body, you know, as if his body is viewed as a mazik, and therefore he has to control and rein in his mazik. No. He's chayav because of the Maisa Hezek. I'll give you an afkemina. The Meiri is very famous, and the Rav used to quote it many times, not because of the Meiri, but because the Meiri quotes Chachmei Tzarfas, which we don't have, this particular statement. And if you want to make a note of it, if it just interests you, this is the Meiri in Bava Kama on Daf Ayin. And the Meiri says that we only apply Kim Leibed Ravamine to a case of Adam HaMazik. Why? So he quotes the Gemara of Esnan Zonan Asvat Torah Fil Bebaal Imo. So what happens is the following. A man has to pay what we call Schirus for having this relationship with his Zona. And the agreement was that he would pay with this animal. That's called an Esnan Zona, which is possible in his bear. And the Gemara says, Afilu Baal Imo. Frek de Chachmei Tzarfas. If we apply the principle of Kim Leib de Rabina, he doesn't have to pay the Schirus. Correct? He's Chachmisa for Baal Imo. So what are you going to tell me? That he has to pay the schirus, and therefore there's a chal shem esnan in the behema because he owes that to the zona. He doesn't owe it to the zona because any chiyuv moment is knocked off by the what? Wait, first maybe I forgot to introduce this point that the chiyuv schirus is depending upon the maisa bia, right? The maisa bia engenders the chiyuv schirus, but the very moment of the maisa bia, he's chayv misa from Baal Imo. So he's not chayv b'schirus. If he's not chayv b'schirus, he doesn't have to deliver the animal to the zona. Hence, it shouldn't be possible in his bet. There's no din of esnan. Do you hear the kasha of the Chachmei Tzarfas? Yeah. Who can answer that kasha? Yeah. If you can answer that kasha, then you know the finish of the Chachmei Tzarfas.
If the animal was set aside for this purpose?
No. It's much more fundamental than that.
Okay. It's not a nezek tashlum. It's a different type of payment.
Oh, excellent. So let me give you the language of the Chachmei Tzarfas. Chachmei Tzarfas says that we only apply Kimle and Ramini to two ownship, but not to a Chiv Mama. So let's say, for example, at the moment that Reuven incurred a Chiv Misa, he borrowed $100. Would it be potter from paying the $100?
No.
Says the Chachmei Tzarfas, no. Because that's not a Chiv ownship. So Rav Soloveitchik used to ask the following question. Paradigmic cases of Kimlei Rabbin is the Mishnah Bava Kama of Hamadlik as Gedisha Shel Chavero is Potter because the Kimlei Rabbin every Mischai Benafsha, right? He violates the Shabbos and at the same time he's Madlik Gedisha. So why not apply the Chachmei Tzarfas here and say there's no Kimlei Rabbin because he's Chayv Mama? Right? If I destroy your Kaddish, I have to replace your Kaddish. How's that different from the case where I borrow $1,000 from you? Or I'm holding on to an object of yours and I'm chayvin hashomis aveda. So Rav Salvechik said, I'm not sure if he quoted Rav Chaim on this, but he said the following, that you see one thing, and that's very important, that nezikin is not just a payment like any other payments, you know, what we call mamoni gabach, then I'm holding on to your mamon, but that nezikin is he pays b'toras onshin. And then he goes into a whole discussion, I don't remember all the details here. If you take a look in Rabbi Reichman's Sefer on Bava Kamma, you'll see it by Rikhus in the Akdama to Bava Kamma. I don't know that we have that here, but it's definitely accessible. You know, now Rabbi Reichman comes into Lakewood Yeshiva and he gives them out for free because he wants the Lakewood boys to see the Torah of Rav Salvation. You know, and that's his agenda. But anyway, in his Akdama to Bava Kamma, which is called Rishima Shiurim, so Rav Reichman quotes this, and he talks about when the Adam HaMazik is chayev in the case of Ones, and the Ramban Shita is that, or maybe it's Tosfos Shita, I forget, Machlokes is Tosfos and the Ramban, I forget who holds what this second, that in the case of Ones he doesn't pay damages. So Rav Salvechik wants to bring that as a raya, that Nezikin is a chiyuv onshim. Right, it's a chiyuv onshim for violating the avera. So in the case of ones, is ones rachmana patre v'lanau lo sasa dover. So there's nothing to mechayv the nezikin. And then he has the sheet on the other side of the agenda that nezikin is not a chiyuv onshim because the Gemara says about Rafram that he burnt a shtar when he was a katan, and Rav Ashi, if I'm not mistaken, made him pay when he became a gadol. You know, you can't sue a katan in Beis Din, but he sued Rafram for burning a shtar b'katnusa. That's the famous sugya of Garmi. You know, the burning a shtar is called Garmi. Fek Rav Salvechik, how can he be chayv nezikin for the value of the shtar when he implemented that action when he was a katan? And a katan is a katan is a lot bar onshin. So that's where Rav Salvechik quotes Reb Chaim. The Reb Chaim held that a katan has a maisa hezek, although Beis Din can't implement the punishment. But if he's mature enough, he has a maisa hezek, and therefore he's a bar onshim vis-a-vis the maisa, and that's enough to fulfill the requirements of the Chachmei Tzarfas for activating Kinwei B'Rami. Okay, so there's a lot here. I mean, I'm just throwing shooting off from the top of my head. I mean, I haven't seen this in a long time. So what I'm suggesting is, if we assume Hamadlik Sagodish Potur, Hamadlik Sagodish B'Shabbos, the Mishnah says he's Potur for Nezikin, and the answer is, according to Chachmei Tzarfas, that Nezikin is a Chiv Onshim, so he's really Chayav for the Maisa Hezek. So whereas, if we would apply, so the exception is going to be Ritzicha. What do I mean to say? That in all cases of onshim, you're chai for a maisa. That's why we're punishing you is for a maisa. So take, for example, Shabbos. Right? If he shoots an arrow on Shabbos and it goes for Abbas Mishus Ram, he's chai for the act of shooting the arrow. That's the Akira that led to the Hanocha. And so too for all other 38 malachas on Shabbos. He's chai for the maisa malacha. Ritzicha is different. Ritzicha, he's chayav for the death of the Nirtzach. In that sense, Ritzicha belongs to what we call Mamon HaMazik, if you follow what I mean. Mamon HaMazik means that I was responsible for the damage, the destruction of your object, because I had a damager in my possession and I wasn't careful about protecting you from loss of damage, loss of property. And the same thing is going to apply in Ritzicha, that I'm chai for Ritzicha because I didn't prevent you from loss of life. So that in Mazik, we're going to say chai for the Maisa Hezek, which means that when he lights the Gadish, and we're holding now Isha Mishum Chitzav according to the Mukhe Yosef, which means that the Maisa Mazik was already clinched at the moment that he lit the fire. correct? Mm-hmm. But here's where the Rashba has to introduce Rodef, because in the absence of Rodef, we're operating only with what? With Ritzicha, lo Tirtzach, he's not going to be chayef for Ritzicha until the Gadish, the fire spreads from the Gadish until it kills the Eved. So that at the moment of the Maisa Hezek, he hasn't implemented a Maisa Ritzicha. So let's read it inside and see if it fits into the words at least. He says, Aval Kushaso, in the Rashba's Kasha, is four lines up before the end of, on the right side, Haven de Chiyuv Misa hu Mishum Rotzeach. Velekel Shnuye de Chiyuv Misa hu Gamkein als Rikas HaChetz. He's not chayef for Ritzicha for the shooting of the Chetz, such that we can use the answer of the Rashba that it's all B'vasachas because of his understanding of both the Isha Mishum Chitzov and the Chiyuv Rotzeach. But rather, Gabi Misa, Einol of Torah Rotzeach, calls Manchelo Igia Chetz Legufo Shalevet. I mean, again, you, logically, and that's in Yechiel's Kash, you could say the same thing with Gabi Nezek, that he's not chayef for Nezek until it destroys the Gadish. But he says, Gabi Mamon, Choshev Mazik Miyad. Miyad meaning even before it destroys the Gadish. So what I'm suggesting is that based on the Nebuki Yosef, if we accept that Isha Mishum Chitzov makes him chayef as a Mazik for a Maisa Hezek of Hadlaka, that's enough to punish him under the law of Mazik. Masha'en came in the case of Chiyuv Misa B'Torah Sotzeach, there we're going to say that his Chiyuv Misa is a result of the fact that he did not protect the life of the Nirdav, and therefore there's no Torah Sotzeach until the Chetz actually hits the Nirdav, or the Eish hits the Gufo Shalevet. His Shaper Hikshav, my Mifter al Gadish, Ha'ena Chiyuvim Boim Ki Echa the Chiyuv Misa Vakish
and
Nisraf Ha'Evet.
And that's why it comes on to Rodef, because Rodef, you would count from.
But in case of Rodef, once you introduce Rodef, then he's Chayav Misa at the moment of Hatzotzas HaGodish. V'yesh Misha Omer de Kushas HaBircha Shmuel, I wrote here, that was my own edition, Meikaro Lesa. So let's see what he says, and then we'll go back to the Kasha of the Birk Yosef. I just want to read the text first. He says, V'afagav de Chiyuv Rodef who got the shasad loka. So he says the now this is really abstract. Who's he quoting here? I'm not sure if he's quoting the Birka Shmuel. I don't know who. You'll take a look in Novus Samach. But I've never seen anything as abstract as this, so you'll have to help me out over here. These mom is shooting up to the worlds, you know, to the sky here, in Luftarain, as we say. So what was the kasha of the Birka Shmuel? How can you apply King Lane Rabine the very moment he lights the Gadish, he's no longer Rodin? Right? That was the movie. So he says the following. Man, he says that Rodef is very unique because in Rodef, he's Chayov for the Maisa Radifa. Okay, let's see if we can work this out. He says, "Achiyuv Misa al Maisa Radifa." So he's changing one very important screw here in the whole Marechet. He's saying that he's not chayev for the Hatzotzas HaGadish, right, which is inevitably going to bring about the death of the Eved, because then, you know, a second later he's no longer a Rodef, and that's when he destroys the Gadish. But rather, he's chayev for something called Radifa. The difference between the two is that Hatzotzas HaGadish, you can pinpoint in and collapse it into one split second. Masha'enki Radifa is a process that takes you from the moment that he's a Rodev until the moment that he finally kills the Nirdav. And therefore the Birka Shmuel's Kasha is no longer Kasha. What was the Birka Shmuel's premise? That he ceases to be a Rodef the moment that the arrow is gone, the moment that he's lit the Gadish. Nay, he remains a Rodef mitzad the Maisa Radifa. And the Maisa Radifa is called Nimshach. Do you see that word Nimshach? That's the key word here. Nimshach means it's not pinpointed to one split second, but rather expands and extends over a period of time. Kol zman mishas hadlokat shemesa eved. So it means that the chiyuv of rodef extends from the moment of atzotzas ha-gadish until the moment of misas ha-eved, because that's called the process of redifa. So again, we're not going to be able to snuff him out because it's too late, right? Once the chetz is in the air or the fire is going. So we have now a period of time. So we have an extension of time. We've discussed this on many occasions, correct? Like, for example, the Zorik Chetz in Akira Zorik Hanoch, right? From the moment of Zrikas HaChetz, an entire period of time is covered by the Chiyuv Misa. And any Chiyuv moment that he incurs within that period of time is knocked off by Kimlein Rami. Here too, in the case of Rodev, we're going to extend the period of time from the moment that he's a Rodev in which we can kill him, even beyond that, when we no longer can kill him, up until the point in which the victim dies. And that's the extended definition of redifa. Once we extend the definition of redifa, we're allowed to say that any point in time in which he incurs a chiyuv mamon within that span, that umbrella, which is called redifa, is subject to kimlei ben ramine. Shal kol panim ein donin oso b'shtei reshayos. Okay, I'm not sure what he adds by that statement. So he's making the following analogy. He says that in a case where he's chayav misa for one maisa, li achar shaso kechol chayav misas beznin. Just one second. What is he saying here? Mikomakom ainu yochel ischayev moment amasha holech v'dolek hagadish ad l'misaved sharia kolponim ain donin oso b'shtei rishoyos umayaf gemina im ischayev misa al hamaisa the achar shas. What's this business here? The achar shas so. There's a few words here that are very vague. Im mischayev misa al hamaisa liachar. There's something missing here. Maybe words are missing. Liachar shaso. Maybe you have to put a comma after the word liachar shaso. So it means that what? That he was chayev, he became chayev mamon, and he's only going to be chayev misa afterwards, and we're still going to. So in other words, this extension theory for purposes of Kimlei is paradigmed by the case of a long process which culminates in a chiyuv misa, and somewhere at the beginning of the process he was chayuv mamon, and yet we're going to apply kimlei ramine despite the fact that it's only li'achar shaso, it's chayuv misa al hamaisa li'achar. I'm not sure, maybe li'achar shaso is referring to the chiyuv mamon, I'm not sure. But in any event, what he's trying to point out here is that we have an extension theory, right? We've applied it in many cases. I'm not sure why he's forced to kechol misas bezdin, and in all chiyuv misas bezdin, he was only chayev for the maisa that was after the chiyuv mama. And yet, since he started the process, we're going to offer this extension. Here also, there's an extension because of the redifa. But my only problem is, what nafki me? You know, if you're talking about a chiv misa, he hasn't yet been chayv misa, I understand. You know, we have to wait till he's chayv misa. But here, we're talking about his status as a rodev. And he says that as far as his status as a rodev, the Maisa Radifa's Nimsha. Why would you extend the Maisa Radifa? It's very nice to come up with this very fancy conceptual theoretical definition of a Maisa Radifa, but why would the Halacha recognize such a thing? I mean, the Shem Rodif is only relevant to one question: can we save the Nidav and kill the Rodif? But now we're beyond that point. You know, the Yesh is already out of control. The victim is going to die.
So this is Paka.
So one second. Yosef, if you understand this, I don't, but I'd like to hear what you have to say. I'm just trying to figure out, there's something called Radifa, right? And again, as we said before, the key word is Nimshach, that somehow, until the death of the victim, it's called Nimshach. There's a Radifa, which is a Nimshach. So, Chal Hashem Nimshach. Again, the Maisa that sets up the Radifa is the Hatzotzah HaSagodesh. Immediately after the Hatzotzah HaSagodesh, we can no longer put him to death. So I would have said, that finito, we're no longer talking about a Rodev over here, because the whole thrust of a Rodev is to put him to death and save the Nirda. But we can't do that, because he's already set into motion in the process. I mean, he's not talking about cooling it off or, you know, pouring water on it. So that's called a rodev. Fine. So you have the status of a rodev as far as putting him to death is concerned. But now li'achar mikan, immediately following a matzilin also benafsho. So what's this concept called a ma'aser radifa nimshach? You know, it has to have some sort of nafkimina. Nafkimina is going to be like avikim le'rami. I understand, but what justifies that concept called a ma'aser radifa? Let's just think for a minute. His goal was to kill the Evan. Correct? So that's why he lights the fire. So from the perspective of his intention, you could say it's a Maisa Radifa Nimsha. Just one second, you feel? Meaning, if I apply the principle of Isha Mishum Chitza, so basically he's like carrying the chet, so to speak. You know, he continues to push the chet until he reaches his goal. The very moment that he shoots out the first, you know, the first power, the first kinetic energy or whatever it is, it's already too late to kill him, because the Nirdaf is going to die. But nevertheless, from the perspective of his of, in other words, maybe there's an element here of chiyuv. I mean, we said until now that what's a rodev? A rodev is nothing more than hatzolsa Nirdaf. No, there's more to rodev than just hatzolsa Nirdaf. There's a chiyuv rodev. The rodev is chayim. And he's chayav for what? For killing somebody.
Even though he didn't kill him.
Oh, so the entire process until he kills him, because again, we have no way of getting the fire back and cooling it off, that entire process is going to engender a chiyuv rodev. This is fascinating. I don't know, Yechiel, I'm going to want to hear what you have to say, but I'm trying to develop, I think, an interesting idea here. That maybe there are two dimensions to rodev. There's one dimension of Rodev which we'll call Hatzal Sanirdav. And there's another dimension of Rodev which is a Chiyuv Rodev. Now again, before I'm not allowed to kill him if there's no Hatzal Sanirdav. But as far as this Chiyuv Rodev is concerned, let me just think about this. If I can only come up with enough Gemina, why is this, he calls it a Radifa Nimshach, and as far as his intention is concerned, until he completes his intention, he's engaged in a Maisa Radifa Nimshach. Radifa Nimshach. So one second, my Nafkimino, let me just think for a second, what would be, I'm almost there, but you hear where I'm going? Anybody follow?
No, I think you're saying exactly what he's saying. I mean, but the thing he's questioning, he's questioning Bichah Shmuel, because it sounds like he's saying that, from my understanding of what he's saying, Bichah Shmuel says like this: you start as a rodev, right, but once the rodev part disappears because you can't save anymore, now you're not chayav nisa anymore until you do the rotzeach. So there's the blank time in the middle then therefore I can't call killing the Rami Day. He's saying, no, that's where you're wrong. The Chiyav Misa is separate from the title road day for I can kill you. The Chiyav Misa begins when you started being road day, even if you lose the title, hence it's all killing the Rami Day the whole way. He's just arguing
that. But during that middle period, what is his status? That's what I can't grasp. He calls it a Radifah Nidashah.
You're a Rotsayach in process. Right? That's what you are. You're not a road day anymore, now you're a Rotsayach. Because you can't stop the fire, and therefore you're a Rotsayach.
The only thing different.
No, but again, what does he mean by Radifa Nimshach? Isn't he trying to say that in some sense, you know, in relative to something X, we'll call it, the status of Rodef continues? And I'm trying to figure out.
It does.
Why not give me that? Again, you want to cover that whole area over here. So
it covers the
Rodef. Not Midin Ritzicha, but Midin Rodef. Yeah. Right? That's his whole thrust here. Yeah. So I was thinking that maybe there's another dimension to a Rodef above and beyond. Hatzolos HaNirdaf, and that's a Chiyuv Rodef. And if I can only get enough Gemina, in other words, where do we find in Halacha that a person could be considered Chayav as a Rodef even if there's no Hatzolos HaNirdaf? If I could only come up with that enough Gemina.
Yeah, probably.
We'll think about it.
The thing is,
let me just see if the Dominic Mincha.
It's a shame. So it's really
okay, they didn't start yet.
What if you stop that road there by some other means other than killing him?
Right, it's like he shoots first leg.
So he's no longer going to fulfill his done. Was he still father on the cleat that he broke? Or now that he isn't, that he's not.
Right, no, he's going to be high from the cable. Right.
So it's like the uproots what he did. Right? Because at the end of the day, he never committed that murder.
Right.
Right? So he's saying here, in this case, it's not that.
Because Rodef, by definition, means that Kimwe Ramani is because he's Chayav Misa, but in this case, we can achieve our goal of saving the Nidav without killing, he's not Chayav Misa.
Yet it doesn't seem to be a problem with the Mishnah that he doesn't have definitive Chayav Misa because I have a way of undoing that. It's like, la etcha la
I'm going to be right back. I'll just.